chapters 27 and 28. We're in Moses' third message. The third message is chapters 27, 28, 29, and 30. So this week and next week, we'll be spending on Moses' third message. The first message, chapters 1 through 4, Moses rehearsed the disobediences of the children of Israel during their 40 years in the wilderness, how they disobeyed the commandment of God and the consequences for it. In chapters 5 through 26 was Moses' second message, and it was rehearsing the laws or giving the commandments and the laws for the children of Israel that when they go into the promised land, these were laws that they must keep in order to keep their relationship with the Lord. Not get one, but to keep one. They had already been redeemed out of Egypt. And they must obey the commandment of the Lord in order to keep the promised land. That's why the promised land, or Canaan, does not represent heaven. There's no giants in heaven. And the book of Hebrews that we've showed you many times has to do with entering into his rest. It does not have to do with losing one's salvation. Well, they were to keep God's laws in order to keep the blessing of the Lord upon them. If they were to disobey the Lord, they would lose the promised land. They would not cease to be God's people. Even today, though the Jews have rejected Jesus Christ as Messiah, and though they are, as a nation, displaced because there are Jews scattered all over the world, though they are still a displaced people, the diaspora, they are called in the Scripture, the dispersed, the spread out ones, the ones that are spread out, they are still God's people. It says at the second coming of Christ that all of Israel is going to be saved. All of the Lord's focus and efforts is for his people to be saved. His people are the Jews. When we enter into this third message now, after they have been given the commandments of what God wanted them to do when they entered into the promised land, in order to keep their relationship with the Lord and keep the blessing of the Lord, we now have a condensed presentation of the presentation of the fact that God has made a covenant with his people. That covenant will never be broken. Ever. When God makes a covenant with his people, he made it, he initiated it. But if they were to disobey the Lord, they would suffer the consequences of disobedience, which would be the loss of their land, and they would be in a land in captivity. They would still be God's people. We have to understand that this principle is carried over into the New Testament. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap, even as a believer. You can be saved, you can receive Christ, be going to heaven, have your salvation secured, but if we are disobedient to the Lord, and if we are involved in sin that God tells us not to be involved in, we are going to suffer the consequences of it. We can lose the blessing that comes with the Lord in this earthly life. Let me repeat that. A Christian can experience the consequences of rebellion and disobedience and not experience the blessing of the Lord in this earthly life, though he's going to heaven. And that's what these chapters are presenting. It is a principle under the Old Covenant or under the law that is true. But like I say, we'll show you that it's carried over into the New Testament. So tonight, chapters 27 and 28 deal with the blessings and the curses. If you obey, you'll be blessed. If you don't obey, you will be cursed. Now it's interesting how it's presented to us. Chapter 27. Now Moses, with the elders of Israel. Interesting. It's been Moses up to this time, but now the elders of Israel are now with him and presenting it alongside of him. He himself will not enter into the promised land. It will be the elders of Israel that will be responsible for reminding the people and bringing the commandments and teachings of the Lord to them as Moses has given it. So now it is Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today, And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God has given you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. This was a white plaster. You shall write on them all the words of this law. He's speaking about Deuteronomy. So they were to whitewash rocks, and they were to write the book of Deuteronomy on the rocks. When you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. He promised it, so it is yours. Therefore it shall be, when you have crossed over the Jordan, that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones, which I command you today, and you shall whitewash them with lime. Now, Mount Ebal is a very important geographical place, because at the base of Mount Ebal is the city of Shechem. And that is where God, according to Genesis chapter 12, called Abraham out to follow him. It's kind of interesting that this would be the place that would be the landmark, and where these stones would be. You shall set up these stones which I command you today at the end of verse 4, and you shall whitewash them with lime. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron tool on them, either for two reasons, maybe both or one or the other. Either because iron was not a common product amongst the Jews, and they would have to go to the other nations to get it. So either God is telling them, don't use iron because you're going to have to look to the heathen to get the iron, so don't use anything made of iron. And, or secondly, that God didn't want any human architecture and his own devices involved in the building of God's altar. And of course, if you look through the law, beginning with the Ten Commandments back in Exodus chapter 20, that has been God's command all along, is to not make any image of man or of God, and he just does not want man's devices and his images inside of God, where God's people meet, the church, the tabernacle. And so he's saying, don't make anything, don't take these stones, and you can see it now, just the way man does. Here are all these stones, and you line them up, and you whitewash them, and you begin to write the book of Deuteronomy on there, and all of a sudden you look and say, you know, these stones are all different shapes. Let's make them all the same shape. So you start getting the tools and square them off, you know. You can just see it now. Man entering in to take the things of God, and he begins his own program to make things the way he wants it to, and God doesn't want man to touch them other than just be obedient to what the Lord wants you to do. You shall build with whole stones the altar of the Lord your God, and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. You shall offer peace offerings. The burnt offerings, of course, would be completely consumed, showing their faith in the Lord. And you shall offer peace offerings, which were to be eaten as a community, and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God, and you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law. Then Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. In other words, today you've become his people. Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, there shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When you have crossed over the Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. So on one side on Mount Gerizim, there were to be six tribes, and then on the other side six, and these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse. So one side is to bless, and one side is to curse. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. It's interesting, before we pass on to find out the outcome of this, you have six tribes on Mount Gerizim and six tribes on Mount Ebal. One pronouncing the blessings of the Lord, one pronouncing the cursings of the Lord. But it is interesting, the tribes that were there, the six that are on Mount Gerizim in verse 12, those six are the children of Jacob's wives, Leah and Rachel. The six that are on the other side pronouncing the curses, four of the six are the children of Jacob's concubines, Bilhah and Zilpah. The other two, Reuben was Jacob's firstborn, but he lost his birthright and the blessing of the firstborn because of incest. Interesting, he's on the other side. The second person is Zebulun, who is Leah's firstborn. Leah's firstborn. So you have the firstborn of Leah and the other firstborn on the other side, Reuben being under the curse, and the other four being the children of Jacob's concubines. So you have six pronouncing the blessings and six pronouncing the curses. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets up in secret. It's interesting. These are presented, blessings and cursings, but it has to do with things that are done in secret. People that carve images and set them up in their house, and knowing they're not supposed to do it. But if nobody sees it and you don't get caught, then you're okay. Basically, what this is meant to do is impress upon the minds of God's people that if you should disobey the basic commandments of God in secret, the curse will be upon you. Not from man, but from God. Interesting. So cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. In other words, they're agreeing with it. They're saying, have a truth. It's established. Cursed or cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed or cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road, taking advantage of the helpless. He's blind. And you either cut him off or lead him off down the wrong path. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, that is, establish it in his own life. And all the people shall say, amen. So basically, by them doing this, they were knowing from that day forward that the blessing of God, as we'll see in a moment in the first 14 verses of chapter 28, that God's blessing is upon his people when they obey him. And the curse, the judgment of God, is upon them when they disobey. It's interesting, by going through this ceremony in the way that they did, God's people were participating in and actually saying, amen. so be it of a truth. To each one of these laws, that if anybody was to violate God's law, especially in secret, these are not public things. These are things done in secret, things that could be done that other people might not find out about. They're saying the curse of God will be upon that person's life. So you have the laws of social and public worship, the laws of the community, and you have the same laws applied to the individuals in secret. And they are professing, so be it, that God's curse will be upon the person who disobeys the Lord, even if nobody sees. Chapter 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is obey. Interesting that in Mideast literature and Oriental religion literature, in the blessings and cursings of their religious books, the cursings come first and the blessings last. It is interesting that in God's Word, God's pronouncement upon His people that obedience, because it starts off with obedience, God's people start out with blessing. You don't earn blessing, you're just blessed of the Lord. If you decide to be disobedient, then there will be consequences for the sin. But it is interesting. God says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. It's interesting. You'll notice it's the same with the blessings as with the cursings. The blessings will overtake you. You don't have to claim it. This is the thing about the Lord. If your heart is right, He's not talking about performance, and that's why the word observe. Observe all the commandments. It denotes the attitude of your heart, not your performance. You desire to do what the Lord wants you to do, yet in all of your weaknesses, you know that you sin. Well, when it came to God's people, they brought the proper sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle to be presented to the Lord for their sins. That's okay. You do not have the curse of God upon you for that. When you come and confess your sins, God's made provision for that. It's for the person who is disobedient, refuses to obey the law of God. I do not want to do what God wants me to do. That person also will not bring their sacrifice because they don't want anything to do with God. So it's interesting that God's blessings will overtake you. You don't have to earn them. You don't have to find them. You don't have to claim them. You just walk with the Lord and they'll just overcome you. You can't outrun them. They are so abundant. They overtake you. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. When you obey the Lord, the blessings overtake you. You just get this picture, you know, somebody running away from a tidal wave or something, you know. And they get just a few feet away before the wave just comes over. You can't get away from God's blessings if you obey Him. That's great. So many people today are being told, so many Christians today are being told, the reason you're not blessed of the Lord is because you haven't claimed your blessing. It's like you got to earn it and work for it. God's blessings overtake you just by being obedient to the Lord. You don't have to look for them. They'll find you. Just like Jesus said, that obedience to the Lord is like somebody that in your bosom it'll be poured out, pressed down, and overflowing. And he pictured this going down to the marketplace and having the long robes and lifting up just the top part of the robe and making a little pocket there and going down the marketplace and just saying, just pour the wheat in here. It's like it was a bowl or a basket or something. And God says His blessings will be upon us so much that it'll be poured in, shaken so that it settles down, pressed down and overflowing. God's just going to pack it in. There'll be so much blessing. And it's only for doing one thing. obeying the voice of the Lord. That's all He wants us to do. Verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Wherever you are, city or country, God's blessing is just going to overtake you. Blessed or blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. I mean, everything you have is just going to increase and be blessed. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Well, you come in the house, go out of the house, coming and going. You're going to be blessed of the Lord. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. They're going to be scattered. The blessing of the Lord. Your heart's right with the Lord. The enemies can't do a thing to you. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. If you do that, if you walk with the Lord and you're obedient, He is just going to bless you so much. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord will open to you His treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. If you do this, you're going to be blessed. Again, the word observe has to do with attitude. If we do sin, we have an attitude as I want to confess my sin. I want to be right with the Lord. But if there's an attitude of, I don't care about what God wants me to do, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. And please notice, when we get through tonight, you will see that there is no such thing as indifference. Jesus said, if you are not for me, you are against me. There's no gray area. If a person is not obedient to the Lord, they are against Him. Period. There's no neutral ground. The only way that a person believes in the Lord is when they obey Him. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Simple as that. Love produces obedience. Belief produces obedience and trust and faith. Verse 14, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words from which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. You're not to go off the path. You're not to go to the left or to the right. Just do exactly what God wants you to do. Don't get off the path and go out and serve other gods. Serve the Lord your God. And that's just the first 14 verses. Man, you read those every day and you think, wow, the Lord is a generous God of love. Now, the entire rest of the chapter is spent on the curses. Notice these are all material things. There's a real confusion as to, well, if you're sick, does that mean God's judging you? If you're having financial problems, does that mean God's judging you? There were several people, for instance, Jesus and his disciples walking out of the temple in John chapter 9. The disciples said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They believed in the law of Deuteronomy. If you were sick, if you were blind, if you were poor, then you're under God's judgment. Then you've been disobedient. That's why the disciples said to Jesus at one time, after Jesus told the rich young ruler, "Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." And he left sorrowfully because he had great wealth and great riches. And he turned to the disciples and he says, "How hard it is for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven." Now the Jews thought, well, if you're rich, then that's God's blessing. And if you're poor or sick, it's God's curse. So, you know, they were just out of their heads. You know, if rich people can't enter into the kingdom of heaven, if it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, then who can be saved? That's what they said. If rich people can't be saved, then who can be? They're basing it on Deuteronomy. That's when Jesus said, "With men it's impossible, with God it's not, nothing's impossible." He proceeded to tell them about the true riches of heaven. Not all circumstances. Not all the time when we're sick or somebody's sick. Not all the time when we don't have finances. Not all the time when things are not going well does it mean that we're being disobedient to the Lord. Take Job, for example. God brought trials into his life to work out some things in him. Paul says, "I've learned how to abound and I've learned how to be abased." He had to go through hard times to learn how to trust the Lord. It didn't mean he was doing anything wrong. In 2 Corinthians 11, he presented a whole list of circumstantial hardships that he had to suffer for following Christ as proof that he was an apostle versus the false apostles that were in Corinth that said, "We're wealthy, we're healthy, we don't have any problems." Paul's out there floating around in the ocean, shipwrecked. He's always in jail. He's always getting beat up. Now you tell me who's got the blessing of God and who doesn't. And the people said, "Well, it's proof to me." Yet Paul used it to show that he was an apostle. That suffering was part of being a believer. That was proof that he was a servant of Christ. So you have people very confused. But at the end of this chapter, we will see, as you're thinking this while we're going through, they say, "Well, you know, he's going to talk about illness in here. Well, does that mean every time you're sick that it's God's curse?" Well, we'll see at the end of the chapter, he's talking about prolonged, continual, abnormal judgments. And there are people who do suffer these judgments. Verse 15, "But it shall come to pass," starting off the same way as the chapter did for blessings, "but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God." So if you do, there's one side, and if you don't, here's what you are to expect. If you do not observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You don't have to worry about it. They will overtake you too. God's blessing overtakes you, and the curse overtakes you. "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country," no matter where you go. If you think you're cursed because you live in the big metropolis, try moving out to the country. You're going to be cursed there too. "Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me, says the Lord. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until it has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess." Notice the judgment is removal from the land. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. Again, the metals of the heathen, they are going to be in bondage. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. In other words, you will not defeat your enemies. Your enemies are going to defeat you. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. This literally happened as they were taken captive, as their cities were besieged by the Assyrians and by the Babylonians. As their carcasses fell in the wilderness, the ones who did survive these wars and these sieges, they were taken captive. Men, women, boys, and girls were stripped naked and tied together, and they were led through the wilderness captive until they got to Babylon. Many died. Thousands died. And they were just left to lie there. Never buried. The birds of the air ate them. Verse 27, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. The New Testament says the blessing of the Lord and peace and a sound mind. The curse is madness, confusion, blindness. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. Remember what we studied before? Meditate, Psalm 1. Meditate on the Lord day and night, and you shall prosper. Remember what God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1? Meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, and then you will prosper and have good success. God says if you're disobedient, you will not prosper in anything that you do. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one will save you. You shall be engaged to a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you and shall not be restored to you. You can understand why Job's friends now were relaying these things to him. This has been a common belief for man all the way from the beginnings of Abraham and now all the way through Moses. If all of your animals of your ranch have been violently stolen, taken, or destroyed, if your children have been killed, if your body breaks out in boils from head to toe and you can't get God to respond, then this must be you. You must be disobedient to the Lord. You've done something wrong. Everything you do, in other words, is going to fall. Middle of verse 31. And shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies and you shall have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, taken captive to Babylon. And your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand. Your children will be taken away from you, and you're going to pine away for them all day long, so distressed, and you'll never see them. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods which are made of wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword amongst all nations where the Lord will drive you. You shall carry much seed out of the field, but gather little in, for the locusts will consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall beget or generate sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. The alien who is amongst you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he has commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever. It's a sign. Here are the consequences of disobedience. They will be displaced. Others will take their blessing in the land. They will be taken away captive. They're going to lose everything, separated from family. Everything that a person lives for, raise family, home, vineyards, nation, land, everything taken away. Not just taken away from your possession, but then you are taken away too. And you'll never see them again. Yes, sir?
Is this speaking as individually, or is this as a nation? Are they speaking each like an individual family, or is
it... Yeah, it would be a nation as a whole.
As a whole?
As a whole, right. They were to take individuals and stone them for offenses that would be deserving of this. But the nation as a whole, I mean, the entire society went corrupt. It wasn't one or two people or because of one or two people. They began to be disobedient. And, of course, as we went through the major prophets, these were all the... For over 40 years, God brought prophets to Israel saying, remember what I said, what happened to you? I mean, for 40 years. It wasn't like you disobeyed the Lord last week, so by tonight you're through. For 40 years, God brought prophets. Not only did they disobey every commandment of God, but they also killed the prophets. By the time all these things came to pass, I mean, they were just ripe for the judgment. You know, it's not one of these things that somebody sinned on the north end of town or something, you know. This is a blatant social nation. The entire society was being disobedient to the Lord. There was individual penalties of death to remove individuals who acted this way. If you did not want to obey the Lord did not want you in with the congregation. You were to be put to death because there's no healing for you. Wherever you go, you're going to bring curse wherever you go. So God says, get rid of them. So this is the whole of the nation. Of course, it's got to start with a few people. It's got to start with corrupt leaders. But over a period of years, the nation of Israel became and actually experienced these things. Verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Notice they started out with blessing. He blessed them abundantly, and because they just didn't say, look, God has blessed us so much, let's rejoice and praise the Lord and just be faithful to the one who is blessing us. They turned on the Lord when the Lord was already blessing them. He blessed them first. They didn't have to earn it. The blessings overtook them because of God's promise. It wasn't anything they did to deserve it. God just said, I'm going to bless you. You want the fullness of all that I have for you to be prosperous as a person, mentally, emotionally, physically, materially, spiritually? Then obey the voice of the Lord. If you want God to turn against you and deal with you, then disobey Him. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. Doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. But there are consequences for an attitude or a heart condition that is rebellious or indifferent towards the things of the Lord. Verse 47 again, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. This is what happened. The enemy armies overcame them. The Assyrians, first of all, in the northern kingdom, and then the Babylonians in the southern kingdom. And they were hauled off naked, wandering through the wilderness on the way to Babylon. No clothes on, no food, no water, just rations every once in a while. And He will put a yoke of iron on your neck until He, that is the Lord, has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil, or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks, until they have destroyed you. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall eat the fruit of your own body. We're going to get into some gruesome things here, but these things actually happened, where the children of Israel were cut off, trapped inside the city of Jerusalem, the Babylonian armies completely surrounding the city, cutting off all food supplies, and so they began to eat their own children. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. The sensitive and the very refined man amongst you will be hostile towards his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and towards the rest of his children whom he leaves behind, so that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children whom he will eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you in all your gates. First of all, here's the refined businessman, who is bad enough to eat the flesh of his own children to survive, but he doesn't share. So with the woman, verse 56, the tender and delicate woman amongst you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity, she will refuse to the husband of her bosom and to her son and her daughter. Her placenta, which comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of everything in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. So bad was it that even the unborn children were pulled out of the womb and eaten. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues. Notice that, because in the Hebrew, what it's saying is that these are extraordinary. These are not ordinary sicknesses, ordinary hard times. I mean, we're talking about complete wipeout. Extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses, not just ordinary sickness. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. And ye shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you amongst all peoples, from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And amongst those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, "Oh, that it were evening." And at evening you shall say, "Oh, that it were morning." Because of the fear which terrifies your heart and because of the sight which your eyes see. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships. By the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. God had lifted them up that they will be sold as slaves in Egypt and nobody's going to buy them. Not even worth it. It's going from being the top to the bottom. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians, first book after 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 6. It actually begins with verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. A lot of people interpret that to be money. That if somebody teaches you, you are to respond with finances. And that's a very traditional teaching in the body of Christ. In context, what it is saying is let the one who is taught the word share in, or communicate in all good things with him who teaches. In other words, if you're receiving teaching and you're receiving it as being from the Lord, then do it. That's how you communicate. That's how you share. That's how you participate. You're obedient to the Word of God. Notice what the next line says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. He's talking to Christians. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. You see the good in verse 6? He's still talking about doing the good. What is the good? It's the good or truth that he's being taught, the things of the Lord. We grow weary and we begin to doubt and we say, I'm getting frustrated, I'm getting tired, I'm getting weary, so I'm not going to obey the Lord anymore. Just too frustrating and too tiring. I'm being worn down with the attacks of Satan. He's telling them, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Keep doing the good that God is ministering to your heart. Because you'll reap. If you don't see it now, you'll reap. There's a time to plant or sow, and there's a time to reap. And what God is sowing now, don't expect next week to come back and say, where's the harvest? It has to be cultivated. There has to be growth. And in due season, at the proper harvest season, we will reap if we do not faint or lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Whatever the good is that you're being taught, whatever God's blessing you with, whatever He's teaching you, whatever He's doing to change your life, share it, minister it, stick with, be an encouragement to those who belong to the Lord, God's family, those who are of the household of faith. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Even though you're growing weary, continue to trust the Lord. Don't stop. No matter how tired or how strong you feel, no matter what the circumstances, don't stop. Because even if we're weary and tired and frustrated and we turn and say, I just can't follow the Lord anymore, just realize that those circumstances have brought our hearts to a condition of an attitude of, I cannot, will not be obedient to the Lord anymore. It doesn't have to be an act of overt obedience, disobedience. It can be because of tiredness, frustration, and weariness that we're disobedient. Do you know that a lot of Christians are just burned out? And they're disobedient to the Lord? They don't have a rebellious heart. They're just tired and they're beaten and they're worn down. But they become disobedient anyway. Because the journey is just too wearisome. God promises that we're going to reap if we don't faint, because whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. If you're obedient to the Lord, you're going to reap His blessings. If you are disobedient to the Lord, you will also reap the corruption comes with it. We saw that in Psalm 1 Sunday night. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but he desires the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. That's the blessing, you see? But it says, not so with the ungodly. He pictured in Psalm 1, this one who meditates in the Word, he's like the tree planted by the river, whose leaves will bring forth fruit in its season. But the ungodly are not so. They're withered, dried. They're not walking the way of the Lord. They're walking the way of destruction. There's the blessing of the Lord, and there's the curse. There's the consequences for sin, and there's the blessings for obedience. We'll see later on in the Psalms, in our study of the Psalms, because the psalmist said, why are the heathen materially blessed and God's people suffering? It wasn't until he went into the house of God that he realized their end. You can get rich materially through corruption. There's another kind of blessing. Paul says it's the kind of blessing, material blessing, that comes from the Lord when He entrusts us as stewards to seek Him and do for Him what He wants us to with the abundance of the material things that He trusts us with. And if we are faithful stewards, He multiplies it. He trusts us with more. But it's all for His glory. It's all for His work. It's not for us to consume upon ourselves. Because then He turns in judgment. But there's a kind of wealth or riches that the ungodly have. It's not the same as the riches of the Christian. A Christian can be rich, and we'll see that in 1 Timothy 6 this Sunday, where Paul tells Timothy, warn those who are rich, I'm paraphrasing, Use the abundance which God has given you. Use it for His glory. Do not consume it for yourself. There is a difference. There are two kinds of material wealth. There's the abundance that God gives in the material realm for His purposes and for His glory, and there's the wealth that Satan gives, and that's for the destruction of a person's soul. But let us know, God is still the same. The blessing will be upon those who are obedient to the Lord and His Word. Why? Because God blesses His Word. Abundantly. The blessings of God will overtake us. If we are disobedient to His Word, the consequences, the reaping of disobedience, will overtake us. Many believers today, many Christians today are saying, "Don't tell me about the things of the Bible, to be obedient, because we're under grace, we're not under law. Don't tell me that God wants us to do something." And their lives are being destroyed because they're living a self-indulgent life, completely disobedient, indifferent to the things of the Lord. They're under grace, not under law, so they don't have to obey. Even their own physical bodies are being destroyed because of their sin. God's the same. We're under God's grace in that we are able to come and confess our sins. People don't take us out and stone us because Jesus became the curse for us on the cross. We can come and confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness because of Christ. It's that attitude of, "I don't want to do what the Lord wants." Whatever a person sows, that they will also reap. No matter what the reason, whether it's rebellion or weariness, it doesn't make any difference. If a decision is made to not desire to be obedient to the Lord, even if a person says, "Well, I haven't made a decision to be disobedient. I mean, I believe in the Lord." The Bible says, if you are not actively in obedience. If you are not actively in obedience, both indifference and rebellion is considered against the Lord. The Lord is the same. He blesses His people and He brings judgment as the consequences of sin. It has to be that way. Because God is a God of justice. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Let's close in prayer.